When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some, I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out, 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
Yes, sir. It's a We Already Won Monday on the WIP Afternoon Show. With Ike, Spike, and Fritz, we're at Chickies and Pete's in South Philly. How we feeling, Ike?
Spike Lee, I'm here.
Never a doubt.
Jackie Baseball, relax. Relax. I'm here. I'm here. I'll let you, boy.
It's so good to see you, Ike. It's so good to see you.
Anyway, we are at Chickies in South Philly. Packer Ave. Brandon Graham Show will be at 6. Then the Players Lounge with Ike, Hugh, Elliot Shore Parks, and this week's guest is Landon Dickerson.
Big fella, big overalls.
Yeah, are you getting him to do a pump-up speech for everybody here at Chickies? We heard what he's capable of.
Oh, we ought to, yeah, because I didn't even know he had that talent. Yeah, no, I didn't know he had that in him.
Yeah, he's got a little pulpit.
Yeah.
He's got a little, you know.
A little pulpit.
Yeah, if we need the WIP.
What the hell is pulpit?
A pulpit.
Yeah, a pulpit like you.
Like
like he'd be in front of the group.
Yes.
He's a preacher.
Yes.
Yes. Come on, Jack.
So, you'd be proud of me, Ike.
Well, yeah, buddy.
I didn't think I was going to do this yesterday because we didn't have an Eagles game, but I sat at home and watched football all day long.
No, there you go.
Wow.
Yes. Like a guy, man.
What a hero. What a
real man.
You crack a cold one?
Real. I did.
Or were you drinking wine?
No, all right.
You mixing a cheeseburger?
No.
With wings?
Cheese and crackers.
Cracked a cold one, ordered a sandwich. My Ooh. Wife got me snacks, and I watched football.
Oh, man, you had snacks, too?
And I fell asleep for like 45 minutes in the middle of
who would ever?
That's a real man. That's good.
Oh,
yes,
man.
Yes,
good. Who would ever do that?
Yeah.
Take a little nap in the middle of the day.
Oh, it's the best. So I'm watching the headliner of yesterday,
yes,
which was the Bills and the Chiefs, an incredible game, by the way, the sort of game we would expect. And it's the end of the game, and the Bills are up 2 points.
I had the Chiefs in that game.
And you did.
Yeah.
The Bills are up 2. It's on the Kansas City, I don't know, 25, something like that, and it's 4th and 3. And here is a moment. This is a moment right here. And in my head, I hear everyone yelling what they've been yelling in Philadelphia.
Take the points!
Take the points.
Well, you know I was saying it.
But I was saying the opposite. I'm like, there's Josh Allen, MVP candidate. There is on the other side of the field, the Kansas City Chiefs and Pat Mahomes.
One of the best defenses in the league, too.
And a quarterback that you don't want with a chance to win with a touchdown at the end of the game.
That's true.
So I say to myself, go for it. Go for it, go for it, go for it, go for it. And the Buffalo Bills, to their credit, were aggressive and they went for it. And Josh Allen made a play, scored a touchdown, and the Bills put themselves in position to win that game yesterday. They iced it with an interception, but
sure.
Basically game was over after they scored that
touchdown. Yeah.
And it made me think of the Eagles, and it made me even more resolved in the fact that the good teams will put their will on the other team. The good teams stay aggressive. The good teams, when they have a quarterback that they think can make a play,
don't do it
in a situation like that. Go for it.
Yeah.
And I want is I'm okay with this at this point, this run first offense. I'm okay with all of those things. But when they are in position with those sorts of situations, 4th and short in the other team's on the other team's side of the field, extra points, they get down to the 1-yard line. I need the Eagles to stay aggressive. The Eagles went to the Super Bowl and won the Super Bowl in 2017, 2018, being aggressive, going for it, imposing their will on the other team. In 2022, they did the same thing. And the time that they slipped up in 2022 was in the Super Bowl, and it might have cost them a Super Bowl. They didn't win, but that would have been one of the reasons it cost them. And I don't want our voices to get in their heads. Well, my voice would be fine. I don't want the fan voices to get in their heads. I don't want the media voices to get in their heads. I want the Philadelphia Eagles to continue to stay aggressive on fourth down, impose your will on the other team, and have confidence in your quarterback to make a play, in your defense to stand up when it's needed. Yeah. I need the Eagles to stay aggressive.
Yeah, yeah. Your voice is in my head. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, I want it out. I want it out. And here's what I'll tell you there. Well, listen, that was a gutsy call.
It was.
I was saying kick the field goal. That's me. I'm a defensive guy. Kick the field goal. Take the points there. They went with Josh Allen. What a hell of a play by Josh Allen to get in the end zone. What a terrible defensive play by Kansas City. Are you serious? I mean, how could you not prepare for Josh Allen to run the football? If I'm actually calling a defensive play, that's one of the first things I think about is, hold on, he's going to take off.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that's one of the first things I think about.
And one of the things
he's going to take off.
A credit to Josh Allen. He made that decision almost immediately.
Yeah.
He saw it's
he
not
saw
there.
Man coverage.
I'm going.
Yeah.
I'm going.
Well, and he knew he was going to get the first down.
Sure.
But, I mean, hell, he's running through tackles. Like, he ran through tackles, got in the end zone. So here's what I'll say. Since you're forcing me to say this, you think you're slick, but I got you. Yeah, you're forcing me to say this, and I'm going to have to go ahead and say it. We don't have that quarterback. Oh. We don't have that. So we can't do that. Certain things you can get away with doing if you have Josh Allen as your quarterback, Lamar Jackson, Patrick Mahomes, right? Joe Burrow last night. You can get away with doing certain things offensively. We don't have that. Like, we don't have that. Quite frankly, if we have anything more than fourth and three where you got to actually throw the ball and not run a touch push, I'm nervous as hell. Right? How many times have we gotten those first downs? I mean, I know we got the one touchdown in New York, everybody remembers.
Yep.
But we were all shocked that that happened versus expecting it to happen. So when we're fourth and one, yeah, I get tush push your way to heaven. Like, I get it. But when we have 3, 4, 5 yards to get a first down, we're not operating like that as an offense. Our quarterback isn't operating like that as a quarterback. I'm just being honest. I'm with Jalen. I believe in Jalen, but I also feel like I know limitations as well. And when I'm coaching and when I'm viewing things, I have to understand what I believe are limitations to the offense. We aren't as fluid. We don't have that whole, I know if he take off, he's going to get it. I know he's done it, but even I knew Josh Allen can take off, he's going to get the 3 yards. Like, even I knew that when they went for it on fourth down. This big joker, he can do that. He can do that. I don't believe that with our quarterback, and I'm not knocking Jalen in that sense. I'm just saying I have to coach understanding that I have little less margin for error. I had to take points when I can get them, right? Like some teams can do the aggressive thing and still overcome it. I don't believe we're there. I don't believe we're there. Not against a good team. We couldn't have done that against Kansas City and got away with it.
You don't think 215-592-9494, after watching what the Bills did on fourth down yesterday, have you rethought being aggressive on fourth downs and for extra points? So I didn't expect you to go the Jalen way, which actually does throw a curveball for
you. Yeah,
me.
Yeah.
But that's
well, I got to think about that.
Well, the one thing I would say about Jalen in a positive way for me is that in a situation like that, where you can just run for the first down, those are the situations where it seems like he thrives. When he has less time to think, when he just has to go out there and make a play.
Sure.
You know what I mean? Like, and if there's a situation where he can just run for it, I have as much confidence in him as pretty much any quarterback in the NFL that he can go and get 3 yards if he decides to run for it. And I just think
Well, what if he doesn't decide to? What if he's standing back there trying to wait for somebody to get open and then he gets sacked?
Oh, you're dead meat in that case. Well, right.
Have we seen that?
We have.
We've seen it.
But I do think the pressure, to me, it's a question of pressure in that by doing those things, you are putting pressure on the other team. Like, by putting the other team in that situation and keeping them on their heels and continuing, and with I've said this 100 times, but with the limited number of drives we have because of the fact that we're running the ball and our opportunities to score lower, I just think there's so many times where if we had 3 instead of having 7, then at the end of the game, instead of being up by 8 or 12 or 16, we're up by 5 at the end of the game if we don't do those things. And I don't think it's about just at the end of the game. It's every time we go down the field.
Yeah.
I want to do whatever we can to get 7 rather than 3.
And I got
to
get points every time. See, that's my thought process. I got to get points. I got to get points every time down. I'm not as confident in the offense operating from behind when we got to throw the ball or when we can run the ball and dictate what we're doing offensively. I'm perfectly fine with it. We can get the ball to Saquon. I'm just telling you where I'm at.
Sure.
I'm more comfortable with Saquon running the ball and Jalen having to throw the ball, play action passes, things of that nature every once in a while. But living that way through a game, saying I'm just going to be aggressive because we're just that good, I'm not that confident level yet. I'm just not. The offense hasn't been operating as efficiently as you would want it to. They don't score as many points in bunches like you would hope to. And if that was the offense we were operating with, if that was the offense I was seeing, then I would feel differently. I have to coach. This is one of those situations where I can't just coach because this is what the numbers say do. This is where I got to actually understand my situation. I got to understand what I'm working with. I have to understand, you know what? It's better safe than sorry, me taking points here versus me thinking, oh, I can get down here anytime I want to, and I'm going to score points, even if we don't score points. Because while it's okay to want to be aggressive and think about those 7 points, you also have to think about the ramifications of not getting points.
Sure.
And whether or not your quarterback, okay, what defense are we seeing? What defensive coach are we seeing? Are we seeing somebody who comes after you, an aggressive coach? Like, all this stuff matters. So if I'm just putting it in the hands of in a playoff situation against a quality team, nah, I got to take the points. I'm sorry. I got to be safe and take the points.
Being safe, a boss once told me, mm-hmm. being safe is risky and being risky is safe. And I don't know what it means.
I don't either.
But
what
I'm
the hell
say,
does that mean?
Well,
is that guy still employed?
Actually, he's not, but it did stick with me. God bless you, Tim. I think you're employed somewhere, actually. Jack at 215.
Being risky is safe. Yeah. What?
But well, being safe is risky in that. Yeah, I think what it means.
Well, being safe is
that
risky.
Part.
That's yeah. We all
that
understand
part.
That
we understand
one.
That part. Yeah. What about the being risky is safe?
Well, being written. Well,
that's the issue.
Yeah.
Yes. Hmm.
All right. Well, forget about that thing that I said. Jack, what are your thoughts on it?
So today the listeners have a decision to make.
Oh God.
And there is a clear divide between the NARP.
What the hell is a NARP?
A non-athletic regular person.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, Boomer would call me a NARP.
I did not know that.
Yeah.
A NARP and the analytics team, a.k.a. Spike Eskin, Elliot Shore Parks,
okay.
Tom Kelly.
All right.
Probably Joe Giglio, if I had to guess. But
wait
I don't
a minute.
Know.
Tom Kelly played.
I was going to say TK's played, dude, he's a middle linebacker.
He was a middle
man.
Linebacker on a 3-win high school football
it
team.
It doesn't matter.
He still played.
Ball player.
He played more football than you did.
I was a backup quarterback, and I couldn't figure out which way to hand the ball off.
Mr. Clipboard over here.
Dude,
Jackie Visor.
I was the Jeff George of whatever my little league was called. LAFA.
Jackie Daniel.
Yeah. And or you can be on the side of the athletes, me, Ike. I'm sure Richie maybe. No,
Hugh.
Richie seems like an analytics guy.
Yeah.
Hugh. Like when the defense is as good as this defense is, you have to
that's
also
the other part. I didn't even bring that in.
Like you need as many points as you can so that you can keep this defense like you have a good enough defense to where you don't have to get in shootouts. You don't have to get baited into doing a shootout. So the Jalen thing is a part of it, but I think also on top of that, when you have a defense as good as this one, you can afford to just continue to take the points and you don't have to get stuck in a situation where you got to chase points.
But you know what? In that situation yesterday, I think that is a vote of confidence in both the quarterback and the defense. I think it's a vote of confidence in both because
– Well, and I was also saying I don't want to give Patrick Mahomes the ball back with a chance. So I understand – I understood where Sean McDermott was going with that.
Right.
It was the ball. We got the ball here. It's 4th and 3. I got Josh Allen, let's go try to score, pick up a first down, get a touchdown. Let's go try to win the game. Now, I understand that because with Patrick Mahomes, you don't want to give him the ball back. If it were the Eagles and Nick did that, I'd be like, you know what? I get it.
But the problem with Nick,
I get it.
He did it against Trevor Lawrence.
Right. That's what I'm saying. That's
and
exactly.
won the game. Barely.
Well, we needed an interception at the end of the game.
Don't give me that he won the game.
You know what? I don't think you guys understand. A win is a win in this league. Wins are hard in the NFL, and you discrediting them.
Yeah.
All right, 215-592-9494. After watching the rest of the league yesterday, specifically Buffalo versus Kansas City, have you rethought your position on being aggressive? Do you want the Eagles to be aggressive on fourth down, or do you want them to take the points? 215-592-9494. Dan in the Northeast, you're on WIP.
So I was going to start out this call going off on Spike, but Ike.
Yes.
I gotta talk to you for a minute, man. What are you talking about that Jalen can't make that play that Allen made yesterday? Mm. He's made it a billion times in his
career. No, yeah.
Well, relax.
He has. I mean, and you're
in that situation.
Yeah.
At the end of the game.
Yeah.
Nah.
What about against the Saints when he hit Goddard down the sideline?
That's not that play. That first of all, that wasn't fourth down. And it wasn't that play. That was a well designed.
It was 3rd and 18.
No, you're right. It was 3rd and 16, but it was a well designed play. It was a well designed play, and the players executed.
So
all Jalen had. All Jalen had to do was not throw the ball behind Dallas.
A high school
Goddard.
Quarterback.
Yeah, he got me. The throw was easy to make.
Okay. All right. And then
well,
they don't score enough points to fifth in the league in scoring.
Yeah.
I didn't look
at this as a shot at Jalen, quite frankly. I'm just being honest.
You said Jalen's not the guy.
No, I didn't say he's not the guy. I said he's not that guy, and I wouldn't put the ball in his hands in that situation. I would have understood that. But that's also
it's 2022. When Jalen was aggressive and it got us to the Super Bowl.
First of all, In 2022, they played from ahead the majority of those games. They were playing backup quarterbacks and terrible quarterbacks on a last play schedule.
No. What I'm saying is Spike said that we were aggressive in 2022.
You can do that when you're playing Sam Howell and you're facing the quarterbacks that they were facing. Part of that is just looking at the opponent and saying, well, I know he can't score, so I can be aggressive here.
Did Jalen lead him on a go-ahead scoring drive in Arrowhead last year against Mahomes?
Yes, he did.
Yes or no?
He did.
So what are you saying he can't do?
How many times do I need to say it? Clean the wax out of your ear. I said it already that I don't believe in that situation. I would have put Jalen in that predicament. I would have gone ahead and kicked it.
Well, and Dan, nah,
man,
I think
you're wrong.
Dan,
you're wrong.
Well, hopefully we'll find out. I mean, we'll find
he's
out eventually.
Done it so many times.
He's done what so many times?
He's led us down the field in crunch time against good quarterbacks and won the game for us.
Okay.
He did against Josh Allen last year, the same guy you said he couldn't.
I know.
What are you saying?
Dan.
Whatever. Later.
Dan, first of all, relax.
Oh, wow. Dan hung up.
He's upset. Is he new to the show? He must be new to the show. Has to be new to the show.
You know, I'm not even.
He heard Jalen couldn't do it, and he decided, that's all I could take. Yes. I got to call up today.
Welcome to the club. My point is actually not even about that specific play. Mm-hmm. I actually believe.
You're talking about the scenario just.
The entire game. Because I actually believe if you do that early in the game, there's a better chance you won't have to make that decision late in the game.
But they didn't do those type of things early in the game.
Who, Buffalo?
Yes.
Yes.
Well, neither team, they played it close to the vest.
They did.
They played it close to the vest, and you punt the ball, and you do things of that nature. And then I understand it in that situation why they did it. Right? You got a chance to go up a touchdown versus just going up, what, was it 5 points, I believe?
Would have been five.
Yeah, would have been 5 points.
Yep.
And you could still lose by giving Patrick Mahomes the ball. I get that. I understand that. So if the Eagles did that, I would understand. But I'm just saying, as a philosophy, I don't necessarily abide by that. I don't. Nick Sirianni has managed to stay out of the way as a coach the last 2 weeks. I don't need the whole analytics, being aggressive, go for two, all that stuff to prove that I'm a smart football team instead of just going out and winning football games. You're doing it in that situation because you're trying to win the game. When you're doing it when you're up 15 points, 16 points already, you're doing it because you're trying to prove how smart you are. There's a difference, right? Like there's a difference than doing it when you're up 22-0 versus when you're trying to win the game late in the game.
Sure.
The problem we've had with the Eagles is that they've done it when there were times we didn't feel like it was necessary to do.
See,
so it felt like you were doing it just because your numbers said go ahead and do it.
Well, that's part of it, and I do agree with the numbers. I do agree with Like, there is context to everything, but I think the numbers say that for a reason, and I think putting your foot on the opponent's throat earlier in the game as many times as you can puts them in a position where they're not playing. You take them out of their game plan, right? You make them throw when they don't want to throw. You put their defense on their heels, and I think it changes the entire context of the game, especially when you do it early. All right.
I just don't recall times the Eagles have won because of that stuff. Like, they may win late when they're down, doing it, what have you, but doing it as a philosophy going into the game, like, we're going to do it because of this and that and the other. Like, they haven't won a game because of analytics, because they decided to go for 2 points or all this other stuff. I don't remember all that. I don't remember a game where they've done that. They've been doing this for years. And because it works at the end of a game when it's obvious to go for 2 points or what have you, doesn't mean doing it by the numbers is the way you do it. And I don't think that has been a driving force for their winning. Their analytics has not been a driving force for them winning over the last 3, 4, 5, 6 years.
I would say that the last 3, 4, 5, 6 years have been incredibly successful, and it has to be part of it. It has to be part of it. It lines up with a lot of success from the franchise. A lot of success. 215-592-9494. Do you believe the Eagles should continue to be aggressive on fourth downs and going for two, especially after watching yesterday, or do you want them to continue to take the points? We have a big show, Ike.
Take the points.
Nick Sirianni will speak at 3:15, even though the game was Thursday. He didn't talk on Friday.
Coach done had 3 or 4 days off.
Oh, man. Good man. He had a lot to think about.
He is going to be talkative.
A lot to think about. Don McNabb joins us at 4. At 4:30, we have something very special that we're going to be doing all week at 4:30. Ike, Linkin Park is coming back. Wells Fargo Center, August 16th.
Okay.
And we have a pair of tickets every day at 4:30, but we're going to make you sing for it. So
sing for your supper.
Yeah, you're going to sing for your supper. So at 4:30 every day this week, we will play a clip of a Linkin Park song for you on the air. You have to just sing the next line. They are very popular songs. You should be able to do it. I will be embarrassed. And you can't just say the line. You have to sing the line. So that will be at 4:30.
Oh, my goodness.
And don't go the buzz route. You know, where it's just so monotone and terrible. Yeah. Put some effort into it. Yeah.
So it's a big show. We are at Chickie's and Pete's in South Philly. Never too early. Start booking your holiday party. If you book now for November or January, you get a party upgrade. Visit chickiesandpetes.com. This is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz.
Bring the boom. Bring the boom.
Is this AJ and Big Justice?
Yeah. Yes. Well, whole family's involved.
And the mom and the sister.
They got a Christmas song?
Of course they do.
It gets worse.
Where's the kid? Oh, stop. He's cooked. Throw in the towel, Big Justice.
Oh, my God. Oh, come on, man. This is terrible, man.
I'm afraid this is the proverbial jump the shark moment.
Yes,
now,
this is terrible,
it
man.
Seemed like AJ and Big Justice were the shark. Almost impossible to jump it. I'm afraid we are declaring, Jack, I don't know if you're ready, but we're going to have to officially declare AJ and Big Justice cooked.
Yeah, this ain't going to get it.
Yeah, it's over. It was a good run.
It's time to make the antipasto.
Yeah, man, they're doing Christmas songs now. Yeah, I'm out.
Yeah, dude, they are the greatest.
It was a good run.
Bring the boom, bring the boom. It's elementary. Not to, break down their lyrics in a serious way, but it's such, elementary school lyrics.
Yeah, that's terrible.
Well, they got to capitalize on it. Now, we were early, and we'll be early on this take as well. This is the end of it.
Yeah.
This is a good run.
This is a wrap.
This is a good run. We're at Chickies and Pete's in South Philly.
Rizzler's fine. Everyone leave Rizzler around.
Yeah, we're still pro-Rizzler. Still pro-Rizzler. We're at Chickies and Pete's in South Philly. Chickies and Pete's gift cards for the holidays. Perfect gift that always fits and always gets used. Buy in person or online at chickiesandpete's.com. Do you want the Eagles to continue to be aggressive? If you watched football yesterday and you saw the aggressive Buffalo Bills beat the Chiefs for the first time, 215-592-9494. Louis in Nebraska. Louis, you're on WIP.
Victory! What's up, fellas?
What's up, Louis?
What's up, Louis?
I missed you guys on Friday. I got boxed out of the call. So
you didn't
I'm very
get
happy
boxed
to-
out, oh, Louis. We had full lines, all right?
Oh, my God.
Cry me a river.
There's no more whining.
The only
we want Big Lou to call.
Yeah,
get your dad
to call.
Where's Big Lou?
Guys, this was a great weekend of football because I just realized that We're one of the best teams in the NFL, and here's why. Number one, let's just get to the topic of the day. Ike knows what I'm talking about here. When you have a great short game, okay, you don't always need to go for the green and two, Ike, okay?
Well, again, oh, we're talking about two different golfers here.
I like that.
because we have a top five defense in the league, Nick needs to know that we don't always have to go for it on fourth down because we're going to get stopped more likely.
Yes.
I mean, my stats guy, Fritzy over there, how many points per game is this defense allowing? Not a lot.
17.5, I believe.
Yeah.
It's definitely up there in the league. So, like, we don't always have to go for it in two, fellas. I'm talking about golf. Spike, are you with me here? We're going to come to tutorial.
Sometimes you got to lay up, Spike.
I'm not. There's two specific situations I'm talking about. One, when it's an extra point, it gets moved to the one-yard line. And two, when it's fourth and, let's say, four or less in the opponent's territory, I say go for it every single time.
But Spike, here's the thing. When you keep putting pressure on the opponent's offense to score points, that normally bodes well in your favor. That's why you take the points in the beginning of the game, and then you can go for two. Other than that, because, like I said, because we have a top five defense, we don't always need to take the points. Now, obviously, you guys.
Louis.
What'd you say?
Can I ask you something?
Yeah.
How many points would you rather have, three or seven?
Obviously, Spike, because I have a college degree, I know that seven is better than three. I understand that.
That is my point. So even if you fail, think about this. Even if you go one for two in those situations and score seven once, you still have more points than if you kicked a field goal in both situations. All you need to do is succeed one out of two times in that situation for it to be more valuable than kicking two field goals.
Hey, Fritzy, what was that term you used for people who didn't play professional sports? What was that term?
NARP.
Wait a minute. A Jack NARP. Didn't play professional sports either.
Scholarship athlete. Hey,
Spike.
Yeah.
Hey, Spike.
Yeah.
I'm a professional athlete, Spike.
Yes.
You have to understand.
There you go. Talk to him.
Yeah, why don't you discredit the Corn Ferry Tour, Spike?
If you're such a great professional athlete, why have I never heard from you when you call this show?
Uh-oh.
Hey,
congrats.
Hey,
you won some rinky-dink jersey championship 8 years ago. What do you want out of me?
It was 2 years ago.
Okay.
Hey, Spike, unfortunately.
Oh, you got him on.
Yes, wrong strategy, Louie. Get out.
Hey, we all know that golf's expensive. Anyway, to my point, Spike.
Yeah, Nepo baby over here playing golf. Why don't you play a real sport? Why don't you break a sweat?
Dude, hold on. Some people do break sweats while playing golf.
You need to put the stress on the opponent's offense. That's why you need to take the points, fellas.
That's right.
That's why.
That's right.
Spike.
Thank you.
Please tell Spike.
I've been trying to tell
him. What he needs to do. Appreciate you, fellas.
You don't listen.
All right, Louis. Get out of here. Tell Spike. We always go to the Ike thing. Tell Spike.
Yeah.
Tell Spike.
Yeah, it's the best.
Tell Spike. All right, the Twitter question is brought to you by Mark's Jewelers. Brought to you by Mark's Jewelers, the official sponsor of the Afternoon Show Fantasy Football League. Start your holiday shopping at marks-jewelers.com. All right, here we go. Who is the most valuable Eagle on the Eagles' offense?
Huh?
Jalen Hurts, Saquon Barkley, A.J. Brown, Jeff Stoutland.
Whose question was this? Is this yours, Jack?
I didn't know how to word our main question of the day.
Well, so we went on this valuable. It's Saquon Barkley.
It's definitely Saquon.
I agree. It's Saquon Barkley.
Yeah, it's Saquon. Obviously, the offensive line is valuable. That's a whole group. You want to go with one player. Yeah, you got to go with Saquon this year.
Saquon 68%, Jalen at 12%, AJ at 8%, and Jeff Stoutland at 12%. Jeff Stoutland right there with Jalen.
Man, disrespect.
More than AJ. Well, I think it's more of respect for Stoutland than
it is disrespect. Well, no, I didn't mean that, but I meant the whole AJ.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Without AJ is not
exactly.
AJ is this thing where he is the, while the other players do more in terms of reps, he is the hardest to replace with somebody else, I would say.
Yep.
He is the hardest. Nobody can do an A.J. Brown impression on the Philadelphia Eagles. We've seen Kenny Gainwell get yardage behind the offensive line. We've seen the even specific offensive line members replaced for a few games. A.J., as soon as he's gone, the offense doesn't look the same way.
Yep.
So Irving Fryer was on the morning show today.
Irv.
Talked about a number of topics. One including Jalen Hurts. And here's what Irv had to say about the quarterback.
But one of the things that I see with Jalen is in his throwing is that he lacks the ability to throw the ball in tight spots when you need to have zip on the ball, when you need to throw the ball on a rope. Perfect example, the Diggs interception with Dallas. I think the week before, Cincinnati was 4th-and-3, and he was trying to throw the ball to A.J. Brown crossing the field, and the ball, it needed to have zip on the ball, and I think he lacked, because he almost, when you watch his motion, he almost kind of winds up a little bit. He throws a great deep ball.
He does.
Throws a slant.
Boy,
throws
he does.
A slant good.
Yeah.
Those short passes, because he's only throwing the ball about 12 yards, you know, from where he's standing to where he's got where the ball's got to get to. But when he's when a receiver's 15 yards down the field, 20 yards down the field, and you got to throw that ball on a line, because the moment of separation only lasts for a second. And you got to get that ball in that hole, in that space, right now.
You know, he's right. I do think it makes me think of, because the decision-making with Jalen and the arm strength conversation with Jalen sort of go hand in hand. And it does make me think, I'm not saying Jalen is Peyton Manning, but I'm talking about Peyton Manning late in his career when he didn't have that arm strength anymore.
Patient throw.
But I'm sorry, go ahead. You went in and out there. We're losing Ike.
We're losing him.
Yeah. Would she give him
here we go.
Yeah.
The Danny Ryan swan song.
There we go. Yeah.
Whatever happened to Ike Reese?
Yeah.
Not there.
No. You're going to have to fix it. Why don't you give him – there we go. Oh, there we go.
Are we good there?
Yeah, that one's good. On? Yes, sir.
All right. Well, what the hell was I saying?
I said that Jalen – I was comparing him to Peyton Manning. I was saying that – that late in Peyton's career, he didn't have the same arm strength, but especially at that point, because he was so good at knowing where everyone would be before they would be there. And I think when Jalen gets into trouble, it's because he's a second or two later on those decisions.
Yeah.
And he does not have that Josh Allen arm to make up for it.
No, I agree. And Irv described it perfectly. And as a receiver, he would know best. He knows the difference between a ball getting placed in a tight window, getting the ball to him late. Receivers know where they like the ball, when they like the ball. So he's watching that with an eye from a receiver standpoint and when that ball should be coming out to him. So, I totally agree. I totally agree. I mean, there's times that we watch Jalen throw the ball, and it's not so much about arm strength as much as it is just throwing with confidence and that anticipation.
Sure.
When you're getting those short to medium windows, that's where you should be able to zip the ball in there. And there's a little bit of a wind-up to his throw.
Sure.
There's a little bit of a wind-up to his throw. It's not egregious, but there's a little bit of a wind-up to his throw. And I think, which I actually think, why he doesn't throw the ball at times when his eyes may see something open, his body doesn't necessarily react
like that Devontae throw earlier in the game when Devontae was crossing across the middle and it was like bang, bang.
Yeah.
And it was right there. And by the time he saw it, it was almost over.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? It actually gives me optimism there in terms of if he can, over years, get a better handle on that part of it and make up for the mechanics on the arm and the arm strength of it, I do think he could get there, you know, because the longer
but why
he does
isn't it there already? That's what I can't figure out. I can't tell if you're born with it or if you're not born with
it. It's not that you're born with it. He's just not very good at it.
And so I guess he's always been an instinctual player.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Rather than an anticipation player?
Well, here's what I would wonder. I would wonder what the scouting report said on Jalen coming out of school.
Sure.
Right? There's a reason why he went in the second round. Like, there's things that people saw his strengths versus his weaknesses. And what are the things that the scouts thought he struggled with coming out?
215-59.
No, somebody has that report.
Yes. Yeah, I mean, I read it earlier this year, and I said that makes a lot of sense.
Get out of here.
Yeah. Well, I'm just telling you, like, it's pretty spot on. Do you want to know what the weaknesses are?
Yeah, hold on. Wait, let me do this, and then you'll give the weaknesses. 215-592-9494. Hey, if you need a brand-new Hyundai, which you've been thinking about, and your issue is like, my credit's not great. Maybe I owe too much on the car I have now. I'm never going to be able to get a brand-new Hyundai. That's why you got to visit Colonial Hyundai of Downingtown, because John Ashdale, the cars are, and everyone at Colonial – has a seat for everyone at the table this November, including you. It's the holiday season. So they're going to make sure everybody eats. Brand new Hyundais, over 200 2024 Hyundais on the lot. Tucson, Santa Fe, Elantras, Ionics. Buy with 0% financing for 60 months. And that car that we're talking about, the trade-in, they're going to give you more for that than anyone else. They've been consistently recognized for awarding the highest trade-in values in the region. $6,500 guaranteed. Every brand new Hyundai comes with Hyundai Assurance and America's best warranty, a 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain. Don't miss out on the best meal of the year at Colonial Hyundai. Shop online 24/7, colonialhyundai.com. Colonial Hyundai, the faster, easier, better way to buy a Hyundai. See dealer for full details. Okay, Jack, go ahead.
Yeah, so this is the NFL.com Sky Report before Jalen even played in the league. So this is just coming out of Oklahoma. His weaknesses were, has issues sustaining rhythm as a passer with so many off-schedule throws, inconsistent patience allowing routes to develop, slow recognition of early throw opportunities, leaves slants and crossers behind targets, misses checkdowns and opts for harder throws, deep arm dip into an elongated release, force speedsters at OU and Alabama to slow for deep throws, needs to get better at trusting his pocket, quick to drop his eyes when the pressure mounts, more likely to avoid pocket than climb, scan, and throw it.
Well, I mean, sounds pretty on.
Now, his strengths are actually, it's funny, this is exactly what it is. I mean, his strengths are, he finished 38-4 as a starter, tremendous leadership qualities, extremely tough and durable, shows poise to make plays late in games,
yep.
Has experience in a variety of schemes, able to step and drive with adequate velocity, uses athletic ability and strength to elude pocket pressure, play extender who can make big plays on the move, good accuracy on intermediate throws, capable to roll that passer, talented, powerful runner from direct snap and RPO game.
You know who it reminds me of in not...
kind of nailed it.
Sounds about right.
Not in every case because Randall had a really, really strong arm, but it does remind me of Randall a little bit because Randall had a very long...
Oh, yeah.
Long... Mm-hmm. And long shot. And
long throw.
Yep.
Yeah.
And he ended... And even in late in his career when he was successful with the Vikings, it was a lot of deep balls. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Randy
long
balls.
Developing
yeah.
plays. Mm-hmm. So, and I do wonder... It would be interesting to...
Except he doesn't have... I mean, Randall had a rifle.
Yeah. Yes, that's what I'm saying. Big difference is arm strike there. 215-592-9494. Reese in North Philly. Reese, you're on WIP.
What's going on, fellas?
What up, Reese?
What up, Reese?
First off, I got to salute y'all. Y'all are the best radio show in the history of radio shows.
Oh, I like to hear that. And we're just getting started.
Now I'm going to have to... For all my Eagle fans, Jalen Hurts is going to be the downfall of our season.
I like this.
First off, I just looked at the stats. I didn't know it was as bad as it was, but we're a 22nd ranked passing offense in the league. We got a quarterback in 10 games with two star receivers, a running back, and a tight end who has thrown for one more touchdown than he's ran for, 12 to 11, which is pitiful. Next year will be Jalen Hurts' last year starting with us. Because how we see what I see, he's going to draft his replacement. There's a reason why he signed State Farm, because he knew that Jalen Hurts needed everything on offense to be up to par so he can realize, okay, yeah, Hurts is the problem. And then 2 years from now, we'll have a new starting quarterback.
You know, the difficult thing about
You said a lot there, Reese.
Yeah. Well, the difficult thing is finding somebody who is better altogether. And I agree.
I got a name for you.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. Let's go. Shedeur Sanders.
All right, listen. Oh, how did you know that, Ike?
Yeah.
Come on, Ike.
Well, no, they're not getting Shedeur Sanders.
Yeah, I knew it. Yeah.
No. You would have to give up at least three first rounds. And the way our team built, we could afford to do it. Because we got a lot of good players.
I don't even know if Shedeur Sanders is going to be half as good as Jalen Hurts.
He's half as ice, but I can name 15 quarterbacks in the league right now that will have an 8-2 record with our team right now.
Okay. Well, we got a good team. I can't fault Jalen for being surrounded by a good
team. Yeah, so he's more talented than Hurts. He's better from the pocket. Or with the team in Jacksonville. Give a call to them, and I'll take Trevor Lawrence.
Oh, you take. Oh, so
Jalen Hurts ain't good enough.
You're basically not a Jalen Hurts guy, is what I'm hearing.
What gave that away?
Because he's not good enough. He's not. I dislike Jalen Hurts a little less than I dislike Ben Simmons.
Let me ask you this, though. First of all, they're not even in the same stratosphere, Jalen Hurts and Ben Simmons. That's disrespectful to Jalen Hurts. Ben Simmons was a quitter and never wanted to work on his game. Jalen Hurts is the furthest thing from being a quitter. He may not be as good as we want him to be, but it ain't for lack of trying and not putting forth the work to be better. Let me ask you this. What else is it that you don't like about Jalen? You seem to be like honed in on Jalen, like you don't like, like you despise him. I mean, how many quarterbacks have won as much as Jalen in his first 4 or 5 years of their career?
Because he has a good team.
Okay, we understand it. Here's the thing, though. You realize whatever quarterback you put on this team is going to have a good team behind them, right?
Yes, and they're going to be able to make the throws that he can't make.
Forget about making the throws. Are they going to win a championship?
Yes, I believe so.
Because that's the only thing any other quarterback could do that's better than Jalen Hurts. I don't care how far he throws.
He's the reason we lost the Super Bowl. If he don't fumble, we win that Super Bowl.
I would say the defense is the reason we lost the Super Bowl, but that's me.
He's also the reason they were in
24 points. The defense only gave up 24 points in the Super Bowl. The punt unit gave up a tick back to the five, and Jalen gave up 7 points. So I'll take 24 points against Mahomes versus the defense. If your quarterback don't fumble 7 points, we win the Super Bowl.
Well, I tell you this, we're not in the Super Bowl without Jalen Hurts.
And then we will have to hire OG Wade for another, but less than two more years. That's the limit.
That is a good reason.
With this Jalen Hurts nonsense.
Jalen Hurts nonsense.
Yeah, I can't really debate that one, that point. Thank you for the call, Reese. I think that the true challenge is that if you do not have one of those four guys we keep mentioning, let's say Josh Allen, mm-hmm. Joe Burrow, mm-hmm. Patrick Mahomes, mm-hmm. and who is the other one?
I would say Justin Herbert.
Yeah, Justin Herbert. But those guys are very, very difficult to get. So really, you're talking about, unless there's some diamond in the rough somewhere.
By the way, four out of the five of those guys haven't been where Jalen Hurts has been.
Yes, for sure. Now, all that said, I would let's put them to the side for a second.
Okay.
Then you're basically picking your poison of imperfect quarterbacks. Mm-hmm. So unless the team is willing, and they did seem like that a few years ago, unless the team is willing to do this, the journeyman thing, and not to call Russell Wilson a journeyman, but it's not like people were beating down the door for Russell Wilson.
He's on his third team.
At this point. Unless you're talking about signing a Russell Wilson or a Kirk Cousins or that type of quarterback that is in 34 years old and that you're sure, unless they're doing that, then the answer is tough.
Which is what the Rams did.
Sure.
When they got Matthew Stafford, they said, you know what, we need a veteran quarterback. It's not the other. Wasn't that Jared Goff didn't have the skills or the tools?
Sure.
They must have felt that Jared Goff didn't have the mentality to go win a Super Bowl.
And I suppose that
so they went to Matthew Stafford.
And it's possible. I just don't know if they would do that. And the drafting thing is as much of a, especially if you're drafting a guy late in the first round or a second or third round.
A drafting is not going to get
it. It's tough. And they're not getting Shador Sanders.
No, you would have to go out and get a veteran quarterback.
Yeah, and maybe, but I don't.
But here's the thing. He would need to come up short.
Yes. Jalen would.
Yes. I mean, that's what would have to happen. Yeah. And that's what I'm saying. If you get to that, meaning we get to the conference title game, Super Bowl, whatever, and you're like, you know what? We're not winning with this guy. That's different than right now. Because to this point, I haven't seen that. I haven't seen that yet. So I can't say, well, you can't go win with this guy. I mean, Detroit is probably still wondering, can they go win with Jared Goff?
Sure. And they're winning a ton of regular season games. They're scoring a ton of points.
But you got to get to the playoff games and then win then.
And I'm not saying that Jared Goff can't, but when Sean McVay says he can't, but that certainly means something because Sean McVay knows what he's talking about.
He took the same team and went with Matthew Stafford.
With Matthew Stafford, right.
Same team.
215-592-9494. All right. Coming up in about 20 minutes, Nick Sirianni's Monday press conference. We'll have the entire thing for you. And Ike.
Yes.
I have finally hit a breaking point with the Philadelphia 76ers.
It's only been 10 games, Mike.
And yeah, what's going on?
It's been 12 games.
All right.
We'll talk about it next because I truly feel like a broken man. And
well, Welcome to the club.
Yeah.
It's about time.
So that's next. We are the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz.